We were meeting before the service started. Today, we have our prayer time over here. And I was joking with folks a little bit. I said, I'm preaching on worry today. This will be something that nobody ever deals with. Some well-known passages in the New Testament talk about worry and anxiety. That's something that really hits home with us a lot today, particularly in our culture. We're going to talk some more about that a little bit later on in the service, about the unique ways that it affects us as modern-day Americans, because statistically it's true that here in our country, in this present time, we are seeing higher levels of anxiety and anxiety disorders than we've seen historically and in other parts of the world, other countries. We'll talk a little bit about that later on today, but first I want us to just look at what Jesus says, because there's actually, what we'll talk about later is that there's some amount of difference between those types of things that I've just described to you and the higher levels of clinical anxiety that we are seeing here and what Jesus is talking about here today. There's also some significant overlap in the advice that Jesus gives and the truths that Jesus wants us to see about worry, but they are two different things. Like I said, we'll talk about that some as our time goes on today. But we start off with Jesus telling his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. That's one example. Or about your body, what you will wear. He goes on to expand both of those different descriptions, your life and your food that you will eat, and then your body and your clothes that you will wear. Those are the two different examples that Jesus gives and says, don't worry about those things. What are those things? Why does Jesus use those as examples, and what do they have in common? Well, those are everyday common needs that people would have. They would be needs that recur daily. In this culture, in the first century culture that we read about here in the book of Matthew, daily food is something that was a reality for them. They didn't have ways of preserving food as conveniently as we do. They didn't have plastic containers to keep food fresh. So they would oftentimes fish for their food, and they would cook the fish that they caught, and they would sell the other fish for people to eat immediately. Now, they did have some basic ways of preserving, and there were some ways of working around that. But in general, you got food and you ate it quickly. I mean, have you ever seen what happens to a loaf of bread if you leave it out of the plastic for just like a couple hours? I mean, it's hard and I don't want to eat it anymore, right? I mean, think about how beneficial plastic bags are for us and eating fresh bread. I mean, I guess some people think it's kind of like an advantage or something you would want for your bread to sit out and be stale. You know, because that's what they sell at Panera Bread when you go in there. It's like, you just leave the bread out on the counter and I can eat the same thing, right? No, I'm joking. I've joked with you guys before about, I don't really like Panera that much, but it's like the bread is always stale when you go in there. I like bread that's been wrapped very tightly in plastic so that it's fresh and soft. That's the way I like. But this is what they're dealing with here. Every day, they've got to go out to the market and buy bread or make bread on their own. Daily recurrence. Give us this day, what Jesus said earlier in Matthew 7, give us this day our daily bread. This was their way of life. So they could have their bread for today, but then tomorrow they would wonder, well, where's my bread for tomorrow coming from? Also clothes, moth and rust destroy, right, from last week. That's where we were immediately preceding in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Moths eat clothes. So I might only have, if I lived back in this time, you might only have one garment that you would normally wear. You would wash it and you would put it right back on to continue wearing it. And if that garment were to be destroyed or stolen, you would be in a lot of trouble. You would have to go and acquire another garment very, very quickly. So daily, everyday needs. Jesus says, you don't need to worry about those things because God is your Father who is providing for you. There's a number of different things that Jesus says about worry in this passage, and I want you to see those. We're going to look at them. The first one is going to be coming up here on the screen in just a second. Here's how I'm summarizing this, and we get this from verse 27, okay? First one, you do your job and let God do his. If we can work out this scenario, it will help us in our lives with worry. If we will decide, okay, I'm going to let God do his job and I'm going to do mine. I'm not going to worry about me doing God's job because I can't do that anyway, even if I wanted to. But if we think about it, if reality, a lot of times the things that we worry about are me wanting to do God's job for him, tell him how it should be done and how things should turn out. But we need to do our job and let God do his. Let me give you a couple examples about that. I thought it would be good to compare things we do worry about with things we don't worry about. And let's see what some of the distinctions are. So in our normal lives, here are some things we don't worry about. Let's see what they have in common. First of all, when you woke up this morning, I bet that you didn't jump up, look out the window and say, I wonder if the sun came up today. Or maybe you get up before the sun rises. You get up before the sun comes up? You probably do, don't you? Yeah, I bet Tim and Pat are out of town today. I know he does. Some of y'all get up before the sun. Bless you. I don't. The sun's already up, you normally, when I wake up. I like it better that way. I don't jump out and look out the window and say, I hope the sun came up today because I'm worried that it didn't. That, you know, today you're not saying, I sure hope the sun comes up tomorrow and I'm worried that it doesn't. No, we don't. That's one thing we don't worry about. Here's another one. Food at the grocery store. I need food for the upcoming week. Boy, and I'm really nervous today that when I go to Farm Fresh, they're going to be out of all the food in the store. I'm not going to be able to get any food in the store. I'm really, really worried about that. You don't worry about that, do you? Because they've got food. Now, as Van will tell us on Facebook, when snow is coming, the bread aisle will be cleared out. You may not be able to get bread when it snows or milk. And if you want an update, you can follow Van on Facebook, and he will usually give you the weekly update that snow is coming and how much bread is left in the grocery store. It is pretty funny. Why you can eat other food other than bread and milk when there's snow on the ground. It's amazing. You know, there's other food. Even in those emergency situations, you know, quote-unquote emergency situations, there's still plenty of other food you could get and eat. So even when things get about as bad as we ever see them get, there's still plenty of food. We don't worry, is there going to be food on the shelf at the grocery store? And even if there's not at one, then we've got 10 other grocery stores within 5 miles we could go to. So there's one example. You didn't worry this morning when you got up to turn on the sink if any water would come out of the faucet, right? You just knew, when I turn that on, it's a pretty reliable thing. Tonight, you don't worry, is the football broadcast going to work? I mean, I wonder if the CBS satellite is just going to quit working and we're not going to be able to watch the football game. You don't worry about that, right? I mean, is it possible, is it feasible that that could potentially happen? Yeah, but it doesn't, because they spend millions of dollars on that and they're going to make sure it's working properly, right? You're going to be able, now you may worry that the Patriots are going to win. That would be another example of worrying about something that your worry has absolutely no effect on the outcome. It doesn't help you if you don't want the Patriots to win or any other team. I just pick them because everybody doesn't want them to win. If you don't want them to win, you spending an ounce of time thinking and worrying about that is not going to change the outcome of the game one bit. But as far as the football broadcast itself, both games, we can pretty much be assured that they will come on as scheduled and we will be able to watch if you want to watch. We don't worry about these things. We don't worry about the sun coming up, about water coming out of the faucet, about food being in the grocery store, about the football game coming on tonight. None of us in this room have spent any time worrying about any of those things. And what do those things have in common? First of all, it's not my job to make sure the sun comes up. It's not my job to put food on the grocery shelves. It's not my job to make sure the football game comes on. None of those are my job. And here's the other aspect, is that someone else, reliable, is taking care of it. Somebody else makes sure food gets on those grocery store shelves. Day in, day out, week after week, year after year, so that we know with complete confidence when we go to the grocery store, there will be food there. water comes out of that faucet because the city of Virginia Beach or Chesapeake or wherever you get your water from, they do all the stuff you got to do to water to make sure there's pressure in the pipes and it comes up out of your faucet somehow. I'm glad I don't have to do that because I wouldn't know how to do it. But somebody reliable does that. In fact, I don't remember any time that we've lived in our current house in 5 years that I've turned on the faucet and there should have been water and there wasn't. It's pretty amazing. So I don't have to worry about it. That thought never creeps into my mind. I won't be able to watch the football game. Maybe the sun won't come up tomorrow. It's not my job to make the sun come up. And you know what the secret about that is? Somebody pretty reliable is actually in charge of it. So I don't have to worry. So see, when we know it's not our job, and when we know someone else reliable is taking care of it, that eliminates worry from our minds. We have confidence that that's actually going to happen. So when Jesus says, don't worry about your life, about food, about clothes, what he's telling us is that that is not your job and that someone else reliable is actually in charge of that, and he's going to make sure it happens. Now, as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount, there have been cautions that I've had to give in pretty much every message. We don't absolutize in these cases. We understand that Jesus is talking in general terms. So here's one example that I would caution you about. Just because Jesus says your father is going to make sure that you have what you need to eat or drink, that doesn't give you license to say, well, I don't need to work. I don't need to get a job. Just go around, scrounge around on the ground and get some food. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about shirking your responsibility. He's talking about doing what your job is. You do your job, and then let God do his. Here, let me give you, here's the way I wanted to say it, and I put it up on the screen so I could make sure I said it the way that I meant to. Here's what I want to say. Worry is what happens after you've taken reasonable steps to address a concern, but then continue to let that concern occupy your thoughts and energy. So after I've done what I can do, okay, I've got a job, I'm earning money, I'm providing for my family like the Bible tells me to. I've done that part. Now I'm going to trust that God is going to do his part and allow all of these different things that have to happen come together for us to have food and clothing and life in exactly the amount and time and kind that he wants us to, that he is a God who provides. He is a loving father who is not going to let me go hungry or cold or without shelter. God is going to provide for his faithful disciples. So, we need to do what we can reasonably do to address these issues. And then, after we've done what we can do, we say, God, the rest is up to you. And I'm not going to take it back on myself and worry about it and make it my job because I know that it belongs to you. So that's the first thing I want to tell you is you do your job and let God do his. This is what we see Jesus warn about in verse 27. You see that? That's the verse I've got out there. You have in today's passage, you have the general description. Don't worry about life. Don't worry about clothing. And then through these first two paragraphs, Jesus actually expands those ideas in a number of different ways. But you have that general idea. I want you to see that, and we'll see it as we read through some more. Jesus describes the birds of the air, for example. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So birds are not lazy. Birds don't shirk their work to get the food that they need, but they also don't store up and they don't hoard and they don't build bigger barns to store food for the next day or the next year. That's what Jesus is talking about. Because you'll remember our immediately preceding passage was, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't hoard possessions. Don't let material goods and wealth become your idol, is what Jesus has just told us. So if our worship is going toward God alone and not toward material possessions, then we're not going to store up and hoard and feel like we need to provide for our safety and security in material possessions without trusting in what God is going to do. But here's what he says in verse 27. Can any one of you worrying, by worrying add a single hour to your life? Jesus points out the ineffectiveness of worrying. Can any one of you add a single hour to his life? A more literal translation, which Jesus is using a metaphor here, so it doesn't work perfectly well with the context, but a more literal translation of it is, can you add a single cubit to your height? A cubit is 18 inches. So if you were worried that you were too short, if you worried about it a lot, could you grow any taller? No. That's actually more literally what Jesus is saying. Because we could look at this and say, well, if I worried a lot about a piano falling on my head, I'm glad you thought that was funny. Good. I'm just worried that I'm going to walk down the sidewalk one day and a random piano is going to fall on my head and kill me. I'm just scared to death of that. I'm never going to leave my house. Okay? I'm going to stay in my house all the time. And I get to the end of my life and I'm like, look, a piano never killed me. Look how much longer I lived because I worried about that piano falling on my head. You get the silliness of what I'm saying here. But you could make an argument at some time that if I worry a lot about something, that it could actually protect me in some way. And I think there are different ways that you could do that. But the metaphor that he's using here, and the fact that throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we've found that there are extreme exceptions at times, but you can't deal with every exception in one or two sentences in what Jesus is giving here, okay? So what Jesus is saying is that in general, your worrying produces nothing good, no benefit to your worrying. I've heard statistics before that say 90%, 95% of the stuff we worry about never happens. So we spend this time and this energy worrying, oh no, this thing might happen, preventing us from investing our lives in things that matter, things that we should, in loving other people, in building God's kingdom. All the while, this stuff is never even happening. And we're investing our lives worrying and spending our time worrying about it. Jesus says, you can't grow a single inch by worrying. Nothing you can do about it. That's God's job to determine how tall you are. It's God's job to determine how many days are written in his book. You know God's got a book about that already. It's already written. It's already published. It's got a copyright date on it. You're worrying about this and that. You're not changing what God's plan is. God is a sovereign king. And he's also a loving father. Your worrying is not helping. That's one of the things I want you to know. You do your job, let God do his. Here's the next thing that I want you to see, is that you need to trust God's sovereign power and provision. That's what Jesus is saying here in the next section. Let's look down at verses 28 and read down a few more verses after that. Jesus says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that none, not even Solomon in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them, and he has the resources to provide them, and he plans to provide them. This is exactly what Jesus said earlier in chapter 6, in verse 8, just before he gives us the Lord's Prayer. He says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The picture that Jesus is painting here is a loving, caring Father who will provide for his children. So Jesus is pointing us to a simple, childlike trust and faith that God has this. He's taking care of it. It's his job, and we can trust him. A number of different passages in Scripture talk about this, and we need to know God's love for us here. It's so important for you to know that God cares about you. Here's a passage that I could give you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. If it wasn't true that God cared about you, if it wasn't true that God loved you, then you wouldn't have a basis for casting your cares and your anxiety and your worry on him. But because God does love you, because God does care, that is your basis for being able to cast those things off of yourself and onto him. Now, you'll notice this is from 1 Peter 5:7. That's where this verse comes from. We just preached through 1 Peter 5:7, and when I preached on this verse, we spent quite a bit of time talking about what I mentioned to you at the very beginning of my message. Some of the differences between the kinds of anxiety that people experience. That some people experience what psychologists call trait anxiety versus situational anxiety. In other words, some people have clinical anxiety issues and disorders that they deal with. In fact, we dealt with it so much in 1 Peter 5:7 that I don't want to go back and repeat what I said there, but that message is available on our church website. And if that's something that you would like to hear more about, what I tried to do in that message is to provide a message of hope and understanding and care for the many people who struggle with clinical anxiety issues. I want you to know that what we are talking about here is in many ways different than what you struggle with on a daily basis. Some of the things that psychologists tell us is that there are significant environmental and cultural factors that are playing in to the high levels of anxiety that people are facing in our culture today. So here's, let me summarize my conclusion because of that. If there are huge environmental factors that are coming in from outside of us that are producing high levels of anxiety, it makes sense for us to think that the only answer to improving worry and anxiety in those cases is not going to be only a spiritual Bible verse answer that, oh, you just need to trust God more. That's not going to be sufficient. Now listen, I want to be careful here because I don't want you to hear me saying that the Bible doesn't speak to that or what the Bible says about that is not important for you, because I think it can help, but it's not the only solution. If there are huge environmental causes, then the environmental causes are also going to have to be dealt with. And that's some of the things that I want you to hear me say. If that's you and you say, I struggle with worry so much every day, Brent, you couldn't even understand. And I say, you're right, I can't understand what you're going through. And what I want you to know is that I'm not telling you, you're such a sinner, if you could just trust God more, it would all get better. I do not want you to hear me saying that at all. I think there are some things from God's word that can help and can improve. And you can see some improvement through scriptural means, through the truths of God's word. And then in addition to that, I think there are also ways you can get help from counseling and from doctors that can be an important aspect to that as well. If that's something that you struggle with, that's not something that you should be ashamed of. There are large and growing numbers of people in our culture that are struggling with severe anxiety and worry issues. I think some of it has to do with our digital technology, but our digital addiction, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, digital technology addiction, that we are just on our phones. In fact, over Christmas break, while the kids were on Christmas break and everything, I got on my phone and I deleted Facebook and Twitter. I just took social media off my phone because I noticed in myself that I was just having a harder time. I was having a hard time concentrating. I was having a hard time letting my mind settle. And as much as I stay connected with people through those mediums, I just felt like it was not leaving me in a healthy place to interact with the people that were face-to-face with me. And I said, you know what? I just need to take these off my phone, at least for a while. I need to let my mind relax, because every time I had some downtime, I was, you know, flip the phone on, check the Facebook feed. I don't know if that's a cause of it or if that's part of it or what, but I knew for me, I felt like that was something that would be helpful to me. And we substitute digital interaction for in-person interaction. I think lots of different things. We are built for community. We need community. And a lot of times in this life, we are not seeing that. So I think there's lots of different things, way too much to talk about this morning. But I do want you to know that God cares for you. And the things that you're worried about, God wants you to take that responsibility and that burden off of you and to give it to him. And as much as you're able to, ask God for help with it. And then if you do struggle with some of the other things that we've talked about today, seek help and ask for counsel about how to work through and how to manage some of the things that you're struggling with. So trust God's sovereign power and provision. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. You can trust God. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus as a sacrificial, atoning sacrifice for your sins so that you could be forgiven. He provided that for you. That's how he showed his love for you in Christ. Here's the last thing that I want to tell you this morning is to make God's kingdom your priority. This is the last of the prescriptions that Jesus gives in this passage for overcoming worry. Look at what he says in verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then what will happen? And all these things will be added to you as well. You see what he's doing there? See, you're worried about all these earthly needs. But if you seek God's kingdom first, then you get God's kingdom and you get all the other stuff thrown in as well. All the stuff that you are worried about getting, daily food, clothing, essential needs, all that kind of stuff, God is going to take care of those. You set your priority on him and his kingdom, following him, doing his will, listening to his word. This becomes a question of priorities. Here's an example that I want to give you. Let's say you are a firefighter. You know, you waited around at the fire station for the call to come in, you probably got to slide down the pole first and then put all your firefighting gear on, load up in the fire truck. You go, house is burning, it's on fire. I mean, it's coming out of the roofs, it's bad. And they're like, all right, get the hoses out. And you're like, hold on, I got a high score on Angry Birds here. Let me finish this game first. Like, what are you doing? Leave Angry Birds, put it on pause, come back to it later, go fight the fire. There's an urgent need, something that is a huge priority. When you get back to the firehouse, after the firehouse is over, then you can play your Angry Birds game. You can worry about it then, right? But right now, there's something more important that you need to do. Jesus had just told us not to store up treasures on earth, money, earthly stuff, possessions, wealth, security found in all of that stuff. Then Jesus gives us the opposite option. So this actually ties back into last week's passage well. Don't seek after all of that stuff, but seek after God's kingdom. Because if your highest priority is seeking after wealth and money and possessions and daily food and clothing, if that's where your priority is, that's where your worry is going to be. You're going to care about that every day. Your thoughts are going to be occupied by making sure all of those things are taken care of. And then maybe, if I finish my Angry Birds game, then I'll go fight the fire. Jesus says, make the first priority first. Go fight the fire first. Go worry about my kingdom and its growth and the image of Jesus in your life. Make that your priority. Make that the kind of thing that you worry about and spend your time thinking about. You spend your thought energy there. If you do that, say, I'm going to live my life for Jesus and his kingdom. You know what you'll find is that all of these material needs that you used to worry about so much is that they're being met. And God is taking care of those things, and he's making sure those things are in place. so that you can do what he's called you to do. You know what? Amy can probably tell you when we went to Lithuania the first time, we had a full schedule of meetings, and we talked with people. We went out in the street. We just talked. You know, we put up signs. We just tried to start conversations with people. We had meetings at City Hall. We went to the women's prison. We went to the church. All kinds of different stuff that we did. We had some other stuff that we didn't plan. We didn't plan our meals. We just figured we would eat somehow, somewhere. There's plenty of restaurants around there and things like that. We got invited to somebody's apartment one time. We ate at the hotel for breakfast sometime. All kinds of different stuff. But you know what? I think that is a good example of what Jesus is talking about here. We got on a plane. We went to share the gospel with people. And that was our priority. And we trusted that we were, as we did that, that all of this other stuff would fall into place. And you know what? It did. God took care of all those needs. And even in the midst of not having plans for a lot of those things, we were able to meet with people and go to dinner and lunch with people and share the love of Christ with people in that context. Whereas if we had had all that down on our schedule and had to stick to it, there would have been many ministry opportunities that we would have missed because of that. We just went and said, God, let's be here for your kingdom. And he took care of it. Through many different avenues, through our church providing for us, through the willingness of our team, Zinni and Kyle as well, that went. Fantastic. But we said, Jesus, your kingdom is what we're here. This is what we're about. And all these things were added to us as well. So in your life, don't worry. Don't make this earth and this world and the things that you can see and tangibly hold in your hand, don't make that your priority. Don't make that the things that you worry about and dream about as you fall asleep. I wonder how I can get more money, or how I can buy a new car, or how I can get my retirement account bigger. One last statement I want to leave you with. I can have all the money, food, and clothes I need, yet completely miss the meaning and purpose for which God created me. I can spend all my time worrying about all this stuff on earth, and God's got something much bigger and much greater. And what I'm asking you today is don't miss it. Don't spend this short time that God has given you on this earth trying to take God's responsibilities from him and do them for him and worry about them. You do your job and let God do his. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to spend this time in your word. God, we know that there are 100 exceptions, 100 different circumstances that people find themselves in today, that we don't have time to talk about how to deal with each one, but we pray that the principles of your word, the truth of your word, would cover over like an umbrella, would cover all of them, at least in some way that would be helpful to people, that would be encouraging to people this morning. Most of all, that you would help us to not spend our time worried about comfort and ease and material provisions, and all of the things that this world can get exercised over, and that you would help us to focus on the first priority, which is your kingdom, the gospel going forth, people coming to know Christ, us loving other people. God, help us to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, and then let all these other things be added to us as we do that. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus today. Amen.